Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Revelation 21, verse 5. We'll pick up where we left off last session. And this is John the Revelator, almost at the end of the Bible, Isle of Patmos, God in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God began to show him things, and this is what God showed him. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true, and these words are faithful." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God is about to move again. Now, I need you to find someone else and tell them like you really mean it. God is going to move again. Praise God. You may be seated. A new year needs new people, needs new us, new versions of ourselves. 24 days in, almost a month already gone, already down. I was encouraged this morning, early this morning on Facebook, a sponsored post of a church in Miramar, Florida came up, and I watched about 2 minutes of someone I don't even know, and man, they were preaching right along these same lines. And so I believe that not only is again a word for living away, I believe it's a word for the believers, for the body of Christ. And the young man was preaching today, and he was talking about, don't let 2021 be the sequel to 2020, and that we can start again, we can see God move again, and we don't have to bring in the old into the new. And so we've been talking the last few sessions, and last week specifically, that a new year without a new us is just a rerun. Talked that God has been preparing it for you and you for it. Anytime we go through seasons like we've gone through in 2020, and you can pick out a myriad of things that went wrong in 2020, anytime there is a concerted effort, and there's a lot of us that it feels like we get this fire put out over here and another one crops up over here. And right when we get our family on the right track, it seems like something goes on our job wrong. And we get our job right, and maybe our marriage goes through some tumultuous times. And so anytime that there is a lot of stuff happening around you and you don't see the promise of God reveal itself and manifest itself yet, we have to believe in faith that just because I don't see it doesn't mean that God's not working, and that God is working behind the scenes, preparing it for me, and through the molding, and if you've been here on Wednesday night, through the pressing of the difficult times of life, the best part of us is now revealed, meaning that God is preparing us for it. He's preparing it for us simultaneously, and when that thing is ready and I'm ready, there is what we call the manifestation when it becomes reality. So last week we dived into the two facts that God's word is true. We are a word church. We are a word people. Most of us in this room today, we don't just get by on Sunday's sermon or Wednesday's Bible study. We are in the book every day. It is something that we read in the morning or we read in our devotional time, and we are looking for practical ways to do it, in practical ways. And last night, what a great testimony. One of our first-time guests last night, he's been coming to Living Way with his family for 2 years, but I don't know what took him so long, but he showed up last night and sat there and just took it all in. And as Chris preached, Chris began to share a lot of his testimony. But at the end of Chris's sermon, he started talking about some practical ways that he can grow and that we can get vision and see vision. And that young man said that 2 weeks ago he was on TikTok. If you don't know what TikTok is, I don't even know how to explain it to you right now. I don't even have the time. It's like Facebook 2050. It's way down the road from Facebook. But it's a social media app, and there's a lot of craziness on there, but there's a lot of young influencers, Christian influencers, that when you're scrolling through TikTok, the first part of their video, they say, "Stop, stop, stop, let me pray for you." And I've always thought that's cute, that's cool. I don't know how good it's doing, but it's good that they're getting Jesus out there and sharing. And so this young man that was there last night said that 2 weeks ago he was scrolling through TikTok, and I'm sure he wasn't looking for Jesus video. But some young influencer, "Stop, stop, stop, let me pray for you." And this young man said that God wrecked him in his room. that he received God on an app on his phone when a young person said, stop, let me pray for you. God ministered to him. Chris preached in a word that solidified what God spoke and did on TikTok 2 weeks ago. He said, man, what you said, I've never been to a service where they talked about the practical things. And so Chris was able to share practical things. We're buying him a Bible this week because Chris said, hey, apps are good, but you need to have pages in your fingers that you can highlight and all of those things. And so I said, hey, tell that young man we're going to buy him not just an NIV. We're not going to get him a Gideon Bible at the hotel. We're going to get him a real study Bible. We're going to spend some money to get him a real Bible and get him set up. I said, for two reasons, because we want to bless him, and second reason, we assure him that he'll come next Saturday night to pick up his Bible. But it's an amazing thing when the Word of God becomes a big part of our lives. We're a Word church. God's Word is true, we talked last week, which means he cannot lie. Which gets us excited as the people of God that when we dive into God's Word, we see the God of yesterday is the same God today. And the same God that is moving today is already in our tomorrow. Meaning this, that what God has promised in the Word of God, if you haven't seen it yet, buckle up, it's on its way. God's promises have to be performed. Then we said God's Word is faithful. Three reasons we covered that we know God's Word is faithful. Number one, because God's Word is a person, his name is Jesus Christ. When you look at the Word, you're looking into the face of Jesus Christ. Second reason I know that God's Word is faithful is because God's Word is alive, which means that it's not something old, it's not antiquated, it's not outdated, it's not dead. It might have been written on scrolls and scripts, but it came out of the page because the Bible says the Word is alive, it's quick, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, that it can do surgery. Come on, I love it. Some of us, sometimes we can't wait till Sunday and God can just do a little surgical procedure on Monday afternoon in the break room when we open up the Word for about 5 minutes just to get a little encouragement to continue on through the day. And then we ended last session talking that God's Word doesn't stop. The Bible says that it cannot return void, but it will do everything that God sent it to do. It will accomplish. And so at the end of all of Revelation, when John says that write these words down for they're true and they're faithful, what he's saying is it doesn't matter what it looks like today. It doesn't matter what we've walked out of church, that God has a plan for the church, but God has a plan for your life. Write down the vision that God gives you. Write down the word that God gives you. Some of that might be a scripture. Some of that might be something that David said or Paul said. But some of that word is going to come straight from the throne room into your heart about you, your family, and your future. And I want to be another one to say, hey, when God tells you it's true, it's faithful, hold on to that word. It might tarry, but it's going to happen. It might be June before it happens, but it's going to happen. It might be next January before it happens, but it's going to happen. Said these, write these words for they are true and faithful. So getting into some new material, when we say that God's word is faithful, we mean that God's word is faithful to us. And then when we realize that the trigger for breakthrough in the miraculous is, get this, church, when we are faithful to the word. The word is always faithful to us, always available to us, always works for us. And when we realize that the word is faithful to us, but that the triggering mechanism for the manifestation of miracles, for us to see cancers dissolve, for us to see souls saved, for us to see marriages restored, when we realize that the trigger is not the fact that the word is faithful to us, but when we become faithful to the word, that's when all of heaven shows up and begins to shift things around, begins to move mountains, begins to speak new life, new word, new seasons into our life. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. Just look at what verse 5 of chapter 21 and verse 6. There's so much here because he said, behold, I make all things new. Not I will make. Not I am making. He says, I make all. And then the very next breath, he said, it is done. Can I encourage you? We get very off in some of our cliches and our phrases. I used one earlier today, and I said, I believe that God is going to move in a great way, but I have to understand and I have to encourage you, God has already moved. God doesn't have to move anymore. What happens is when we begin to move, when we begin to step into the things that God has done. That's why Peter would say, by his stripes we are healed. He has already moved. And when we realize that everything that God needs to do has already been done, we can stand in faith in 2021 and say, it doesn't matter what is going on out there. I believe the God of again, the God that woke me up this morning, the God that kept my heart beating all last night, the God that kept my lungs filling up with air. I believe that the God that kept me alive for a purpose, but I don't believe he's going to do it. I believe it is already done. And when Jesus told John, it is finished. Oh, now you get to fight from something, not for something. Now we believe from something, not for. Oh, come on now. See, now I'm not believing for my miracle. I'm believing from my miracle. It's already done. Now I'm not believing God for provision. I'm believing God from provision. From provision, it's already done. If you need health in your body right now, I encourage you to reach out and grab it. It's already done. You don't have to wait on him to do it. You don't have to wait on him to move. See, that was the problem with a man that had laid by the water, and he was waiting for the troubling of the water. And Jesus walked up to him, and guess what he said? Will you be made whole? He said, it's up to you. You don't have to wait for an angel. You don't have to wait for a move of the water. If you want to be made whole, just reach out, grab it, and say, that one's mine. I'm going to walk away from this water today without ever having to get in. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it is done. Tell him, it is finished. Tell him, finito. I don't even know what language that is. It's finished. See, that should be exciting to somebody today, because we've been fighting so much, and we've been taught to fight for things. I'm fighting for my marriage. No. You're fighting from a place. God has already made a way. We've just got to walk in the way. That's why we love verses like, God orders the steps of a good man, which means the way, it's faithful to us. It's already there. All we have to do is wake up and say, God, where does my right foot go? You ordered my steps. I control my feet. Where do you want me to go? God, you ordered the seasons. What do I need to do to be successful in this season of my life? You order my steps. I control my feet. Where you want me to go, I go. You've already prepared the way. God is not shocked. God is not surprised at what the world that we're facing in 2021. Don't wring your hands. Don't lose out. Don't go crazy. Don't wild out like other believers and other people you know. Stand firm in the word that it is finished. That God knew exactly what 2021 would hold. He knew exactly where you would be in the season and in your walk with God. You have everything you need. You've just got to walk it out. Turn to somebody and tell them, walk it out. It is finished. I am Alpha and Omega. We would have a problem if the only thing Jesus called himself was Alpha, because we would pray to a God that has not been there. But when Jesus says, hey, John, it's finished. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Write these things down because these words are true and faithful. Then he says, I need to let you know that what you are expecting me to do, it's already been done. I am Alpha and Omega. I created your body, and I know what the doctor told you this week. But can I tell you that I've already fast-forwarded to next year? And what they said is in your body this year. Come on now, church. I've already been to next year. And next year, by this time next year, you will already danced all over Living Way. They will already read your report. You'll already have the test come back that reversed what they originally said. Why? Because it is done. And I was there at the beginning. I'm there at the end. I've already been there. So your faith here will get you there. So if you'll believe from here, you can get there. I am Alpha and Omega. Well, Pastor, I lost my job. The God that gave you the job knew your last day on the job, the day you took orientation at the job. I could do these all day long. So when you show up for orientation on your best behavior, God already knew back in 2008, in 2021, you're going to get a pink slip. What the devil means for evil, I'm going to use for good, which means pink slips for believers should mean promotions. Come on now. Why? Because God has been there, here, and he's been there. God was there that started it. He gave it to me. But now he's saying the Omega, if you only knew what God had planned in your 2023, if you knew where God was taking your family in 2025, we would not get scared and confused in the middle of now. Why? Because I serve the God of Alpha and I serve the God of Omega. I serve the God that said, I'm making all things new. I serve the God that says, it is done. I serve the God that said, write it down. What I'm about to tell you is going to come to pass. Alpha and Omega. Was best man at my cousin, more like my little brother's wedding on Thursday. And I've always loved the portion of a wedding that says, for better or worse, rich or poor, sickness and in health, till death do us part. Because it is the Omega moment at the Alpha moment that they are making a proclamation of Omega in the Alpha. That's faith. How many married folks we got in the house today? It hadn't always been easy. I asked Brother Dan, how long you been married now? How many years, you and Sister D? 60 years. Happy anniversary, whenever it was, 60 years. I remember a couple years ago on his anniversary, we happened to run into each other in the hall back here. I said, Brother Dent, because this is how I am. I'm a sponge. I want to learn. I want to learn from their mistakes and their victories. Pastor in the hall back here, I said, Brother Dent, if you could tell me one thing on how to stay married for 57, 58 years, whatever it was at the time, I said, what would it be? He started talking about all types of communication. And he said, the number one way to stay married is, he said, never have a fight. And I thought, uh-oh. I said, Brother Dan, you've never had a fight. He said, Sister D and I have never had a fight. He said, now we've had discussions that the neighbors three houses down could hear, but we've never fought. High times, low time. High tide, low tide. But when you stand before God and man and you say, for better or for worse, for rich or sick, in health, till death do us part. It's an Omega statement in the Alpha moment. And if you can have an Omega statement in your Alpha moment, the devil will never defeat you. And so that's why when he says, behold, I make all things new, you ought to shout about it. Because in that Alpha moment, when he says, it is done, you can begin to say, hey, in my Alpha, I'm here to announce my Omega will be greater than my Alpha. It doesn't matter what's in between. Doesn't matter what happens in the dip. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to check out. I'm not going to go the other way. I'm going to continue on. Why? Because there's an Alpha. There's an Omega that happened in my Alpha that is all one and the same. And when we understand that, it gives us a place of faith that we can operate from in our lives each
each and every day of our life. God meets the needs of our lives abundantly. This is what he says. He said, I'm the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Check this out. First thing he says in verse 6, it is done. Then he says, I am Alpha and Omega. The smart aleck in the room would say, so he's the beginning and he's the end. What about the middle? I'm glad you asked, because he clears it up in the final statement of verse 6. He says, anyone that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, he said, I'll give it to you. He doesn't give, and we don't thirst for that fountain only at the beginning and only at the end. It is in the middle when God says, when things get rough, whatever you are desiring, he said, that's what's going to come to you. But he said, anybody in the dip of life, in the hard times of life, that has faith, that says, God, I'm thirsty, he said, I will meet that need abundantly. I will give it to you freely, which means that there is no way to exhaust God's resources. If you need it, God has it. God has more than enough. By you taking your portion, it's not going to rob me of my portion. By me asking for God for more, it's not going to rob somebody on the other side of the world from theirs. When you really get in touch with God, the Alpha said, hey, in the middle, whatever you're thirsty for, I'm going to give it to you freely so that you can make it to the Omega season of your life. Somebody say again. Verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. When you overcome all, church, you inherit all. Every time, I love this, every time I overcome something, there's something for me to inherit. Every time. That's why I believe that we should celebrate small victories. Because every time that we have a victory, there is something new now to inherit, to grab hold of. Every time you go 2 days without smoking, you've overcome something. God has opened himself up wider to you. Anytime we kick a bad habit, anytime we cut off a relationship that was sucking us dry, God says, all right, you've overcome that thing. Anytime you come out of a season of despair, anytime you come out of a season of depression or lack and you can make it through and you say, man, I overcame all of that, get ready. There is something to inherit, which if you didn't have something to shout about yet, this is what you should shout about. You just think of everything you overcame in 2020. You just think of the last 13 months, everything that you lived through, everything that you had to fight tooth and nail every day that you woke up. You lost family members along the way. You might have lost a job along the way. Money might be tight even today, but I'm here to tell you, you made it, you overcame it, and the bigger the overcoming, the bigger the inheritance is. Get ready, Living Way. Your inheritance is nigh. It's close. It's ready. All you've got to do is recognize, I've come a mighty long way. I could have stopped, but I didn't. I could have laid down, but I didn't. And because I kept going, there's an inheritance with my name on it. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got an inheritance. You ever been reading a good book or watching a good movie, and then it just takes a turn that you're like, ooh, I don't like this? Todd and I are watching a show, and they just introduced a new character in the 8th season. And every time she comes on, one of us goes, I still don't like her. That's how it is in verse 8. Verse 5, he's like, I'm doing a new thing. Write it down. It's true. It's faithful. Verse 6, he says, it's done. I'm Alpha, Omega. I'm going to give to you freely. Verse 7, he says, anyone that overcomes will inherit things. He said, I'll be your God, you'll be my son. And then verse 8, he says, but the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, they will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If I'm being honest, church, verse 8 makes me a little uncomfortable. And the reason it makes me uncomfortable is not because we got a lot of murderers in the building or whoremongers in the building or sorcerers or idolaters. I mean, some of you are way too into horoscopes more than you should be, but you're not.
Thank you for that laugh. I hear Brother Vail somewhere.
But what makes me uncomfortable is he lists fearful with this group. Three words that will mess you up. Fear is sin.
I knew it'd get quiet. That's why I had you shouting earlier, because I knew where we were going.
Fear is sin. I heard one of my favorite preachers say, you can have faith and fear simultaneously. I'm sorry, that is simply not true. You cannot be faithful and you cannot be fearful. That would be like saying, I'm pregnant, but I'm not pregnant. I don't care if you're one day pregnant, you're pregnant. That's why abortion is a travesty and it's straight up murder. Life begins at the moment of conception, because God said when you were in the womb, come on now. And so when we understand that you can't be pregnant and not pregnant, I've also heard other preachers say, it's okay to be scared. You just got to face it. It's not okay to be scared. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is not a feeling, it's a spirit. See, this is where we get it twisted. Fear is not the opposite of faith. Because faith is not a spirit. Faith is a weapon that God has given us. Fear is a spirit. Just like pornography is a spirit. Just like depression is a spirit. Just like alcoholism is a spirit. Come on now. Just like racism, that's a hating spirit. And so we cannot even put them in the same sentence together, because you are comparing apples and oranges. And he said, listen up, if you're fearful, he said, not only are you not making it to heaven, you're going to burn up in the lake of fire. In 2021, if you expect the God of again to move mightily, we must operate with no fear. Fear means that you don't believe that God can do it again. He did it for David, but I'm not David. Let me remind you, David committed adultery, lied to cover adultery, ultimately murdered, premeditated murder to cover his adultery, lost the kingdom, lost a son, all because of fear. Fear of being caught. Fear of being found out. Well, I'm not like all of these great men and women. There are so many great men and women in the Word of God that operated in fear for a moment, and it cost them things. If we're going to be what God has called us to be in 2021, we have to realize that God of again is showing up. And if he did it then, he'll do it now. If he did it for me, he'll do it again. If he did it for you, I have faith that he'll do it for me. Why? Because God doesn't respect or love anyone else more than he loves the other. God loves you. God loves me. If he did it for you, I believe he'll do it for me. If he did it for the church down the road, he'll do it for me. That's why when churches get blessed, I'm glad that they got blessed. I'm not hating on them. I'm not saying why them and not us. I'm saying God bless them. And why? Because their blessing doesn't negate my blessing. I'm operating in faith, not fear. He labels these things, and I'm just going to go through them real quick. He says the fearful. It's not about being fearful in 2021. It's about being faithful in 2021. It's not about being the unbelieving. He said the unbelieving will find their life in the lake, or their body in the lake of fire. It's not about unbelieving. It's about believing. He said the abominable. When you think of abominable, you think of the things that God detests. But he said, if there's an abominable thing, there must be something. If God detests something, there must be something that God finds attractive. It's faith. It's your worship. While the world is going to the hell in a handbasket, when you worship, there's a fragrance that fills heaven. When you pray, those words go to the throne room, and there's something attractive. And that word attractive, attraction that brings God to you and you to God. That's why he would say in the Old Testament, my eyes are running to and fro looking for someone to show myself strong on their behalf. What attracts the eyes of God? What does God find attractive? Let me encourage you, better than putting a filter on and the world finding you attractive on Instagram, I'd rather God find me on my knees in my secret place of thunder where not an eye on the, in the world is on me, but God's eyes rest on me and says, there's somebody. I am going to do it again. I am going to show up. I am going to do something significant in his life. He said murderers won't be there. And so, murder is something that, of course, is very cut and dry, but I don't want to talk about the murdering aspect. I want to talk about the life givers. If God finds murder and he finds that as something detestable and something to put in the lake of fire, then I want to be a life giver. I want to be known for the resurrection spirit. I want to be known for, man, when he walks in the room, he speaks life. He encourages. He inspires. He lifts up. The whoremongers. Whoremongers are seeking satisfaction through lust and through physical pleasure. I don't want to be a whoremonger. I want to be a love seeker. I want to seek out love. I want to find love in every situation. And if I find a situation without love, I've got enough love to infuse that situation with love. He said the sorcerers will find themselves. Those are the ones that dabble in the evil spirits of this world. And if there is somebody that is dabbling in the sage and all of the new age philosophies, come on now. If you dabble in the horoscopes and you're looking for the Chinese fortune in your fortune cookie to set your life up and you're hoping that the lottery numbers are right on the P.F. Chang's fortune cookie, can I encourage you? There's a better way to live. You better quit dabbling in that. It can become dangerous, and you better start operating in the Holy Ghost. Better than the lottery numbers is when God chooses your mate in marriage. Better than the lottery numbers is when God opens doors of opportunity on your job. Better than the lottery numbers is for God to set you in the right church under the right leadership, serving the kingdom of God. Said idolaters, those are that put idolaters. Listen to this. God showed me this week while I was studying a little more of this. Idolaters are not just people that worship idols. It's anybody that worships something besides God. Idolaters are anybody that puts something in God's first place, top of the pyramid. Your job can be an idol. Money can be an idol. Netflix can be an idol. Your spouse can be an idol. There's all kinds of things. Church can be an idol. We don't worship the church. We don't worship the building. We worship the God. He said liars. Man, there's another one. White lies. Big lies. Small lies. They're all lies. They all separate. Remember Tyler, one time, somebody kept spilling milk out of the refrigerator. Tyler had a lying problem. Back then we called it something cute like fibbing. Fibbing's a lie. If your kids lie, you better get it taken care of. Small lies turn into big lies. And I remember I went in there one day, stepped by the refrigerator. There's milk all over. It was so sticky. I didn't yell. I talked loud enough for the neighbors to hear. Jaden and Tyler, get in here. Which one of y'all spilled milk? Tyler said, it wasn't me. Jaden said, it wasn't me. I said, are you sure, Tyler, it wasn't you? He said, I promise, Dad, it wasn't me. If it was me, I would confess it was not me. I said, you promise it wasn't you? He said, I promise it wasn't me. I said, you got milk in your hair right now talking to me. Don't lie. Don't cheat on your taxes. Don't tell white lies at work. Don't tell lies to get you out of things. Be truth seekers, be truth tellers. Pastor Becky, if you'll come, there's three words that define living way. And actually, I think we'll get to those next week. Stand on your feet. Verse 8's a hard verse to end on because it's talking about all of the lake of fire. But remember, the opposite of the lake of fire is a place called heaven. You say, why would God even make a place like hell? Why would God do that if he's a loving God? And I've heard that question. It's been asked of me many times by people that really want to know. Hell was made not for sinners. Hell was made for Satan. But when he was kicked out of heaven, this is what it was created. Everybody on the earth, God wants them to go to heaven. For eternity, it's what we call salvation, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, claiming him as the only way to get to heaven. That's what he wants. Everybody's not going to heaven. but it's their choice. So I want to encourage you. Verse 8, hopefully, doesn't define you in the most part, but there could be that fear. But if I can encourage you for the again God of 2021, it would be that, behold, I make all things new. Get a pen and write these words because they're true and they are faithful. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I believe that there's some people that are in the dip right now of life. Or perhaps January 24th, it seems like New Year's resolutions or commitments or covenants that were made 3 weeks ago have already been broken. I want to encourage you, start again today. The God of again will help you start again. If you're in the middle and Alpha was great, and man, the start was great, but my faith is already in decline and my joy seems to be waning and Jesus seems very far away, I want to encourage you to step out of your seat and to join us in this altar. I want to encourage you that no matter what you're facing today, there is a God that loves you.